Today's show is brought to you by Castwave Studios Fundraiser. Go to www.indiegogo.com/castwavestudios and contribute today. We are the podcast refugee nation. Be a part of it.
Boldly Going Nowhere is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
The Internet, the final frontier.
Well, hello. On today's episode, no witty banter for you as much, but two interviews recorded at the Art of Video Games exhibit with Chris Melesinos and Triforce Quartet. So go check out the Art of Video Games exhibit. It's still running. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holmes.
And I'm Brian Massey.
And you just got to the good part. Strap in and sit tight, because we are boldly going nowhere. Hello and welcome to episode 67 of Boldly Going Nowhere. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holmes.
And I'm Brian Massey.
And this is not a regular episode, but...
speaking of regular episode, we don't usually have dogs in
there
the
are not usually canines barking in the background. However, that's not to say that this is not an exciting episode, because we do have some cool stuff lined up for you today. We're tuckered out from band practice and all the other things that we have going on.
StephenTheHawkings.bandcamp.com.
Yeah, please check it out. And also listen to Justin's Jukebox number 5, where I talk about Stephen and the Hawkings.
Shameless plug.
Yes.
But also shameless...
There's no shame.
I am not ashamed at all to say that we have our first gig coming up on May 20th. At the Open Farm event at Kayam Farm in Reisterstown.
Yes, it's going to be amazing.
There's going to be s'mores, there's going to be a campfire, and the soothing sounds of Stephen and the Hawkings live.
So basically it's just sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Yeah.
No, it's more like agriculture and melodic chillcore.
Well, no, think about
and
it.
And Jews.
No, think of it this way. Caffeine is in chocolate, which is an integral part of s'mores. Caffeine is a drug.
Caffeine is a drug.
Rock and roll, because we are a band.
And well,
I assume
are you connecting this to Kevin Bacon?
No.
That's exactly
sex, drugs, and rock
your
and roll.
Tone was Kevin Bacon.
That's
well,
exactly.
Connection-esque.
He said sex. There's no sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I was like, right. Well, technically, you're wrong.
Right. It, you know, it's a campfire, and once we start playing stargazing, all bets are off.
Yeah, you got a point.
Oh, yes. That is baby making music. So
indeed,
we're not going to be giving you our usual 40 minutes or so of witty banter, but yeah. We are going to let you listen to some interviews that we should have put up. A long time ago.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry, no pee jokes for me today.
Sorry, guys. I don't know. Who wants to take responsibility for that one? Nose goes.
Nope.
Sean.
My hands were in.
So today we have two interviews
for
you.
No time for love, Dr. Jones.
Both recorded at the Art of Video Games exhibit at the Smithsonian Art Museum. What was that? Back in
March.
March?
It was a little over a month and a half ago.
All right.
That's not too long ago.
It's not that bad. It's not like it took us 6 months, but we should have put it up like within a week or two of that event, and we just didn't.
The reason why is because we were setting up a separate page on the website for the actual event itself.
Yes.
Where we're going to have the video footage and the interviews and all the pictures we took while we were there.
I don't think 1 month qualifies as 2000 and late.
So sure.
I think we should be fine.
Well, and plus, the event is still running. It's running until September, so it is still...
So yeah. You can still go out there, and you can still...
Which we highly suggest you
highly
do.
Highly recommend you go see it.
If you're in the Baltimore, D.C., Virginia area, go in, see this stuff.
It's free.
It's free?
That's the best price.
That's the price
There's
I like
no
to
better
pay
price
all
than
time.
That.
I want to pay free for everything, but that doesn't work out.
All right, so the next time you say, what has Uncle Sam done for me lately, all he wants to do is take. Just remember, he is providing you with museums for free, also roads and
there's also
like that,
the largest snake in the world, skeleton, down at the Smithsonian.
There's plenty of cool stuff down to see at the Smithsonian, but make sure you go to the Smithsonian Art Museum.
American Art Museum.
The American Art Museum. And
I think it's
check
on
out.
Like FRG Street.
Yeah, the Art of Video Games exhibit. So,
it's right outside the, what was it? Chinatown.
It's right.
I think they can figure
right
it out.
Right off the Chinatown Metro Gallery exit.
They have the internet, so I think they can figure it out.
I have faith in you listeners that you will find your way.
Okay, basically...
Since they found us, they can find us.
It's right across from the Verizon Center, where the Capitals play. So, if you
can't... There you go. If you know DC, that's...
Yeah, all right. We've given you more than enough assistance, so please to enjoy an interview with Chris Melisinos, the curator and creator of the Art of Video Games exhibit, followed by an interview with a band, Triforce Quartet, who performed at the Art of Video Games exhibit. So until next time, I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holmes.
And I'm Brian Massey.
And we are boldly going nowhere.
Interview.
Okay. This is Colin with Boldly Going Nowhere. We are here today at the Art of the Video Games exhibit at the Smithsonian Institution. And today we have guest curator, Chris Melisinos. I'm sorry, am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yep, you got it exactly right.
Well, Chris, first of all, for those of our listeners who aren't aware of this exhibit and yourself, can you just give us a little bit of background?
Sure. So this exhibition will be running from March 16th through September 30th at the Smithsonian American Art Museum. It's called The Art of Video Games. The good thing is that it will also be traveling to the end of 2015 through 10 more museums around the country. So if you don't get out to see it here, hopefully it's coming to, you know, a town near you. My background, you know, I've been playing games and writing games since I was a kid. You know, I started programming back when I was 9 years old in the mid-1970s and never, you know, looked back. In my professional career, I was the chief gaming officer for Sun Microsystems for just about 11 years and built technologies that provided cross-platform game development for mobile phones and servers and desktops and all these sorts of things. But apart from all that, I'm a huge collector of games and systems.
And actually, I remember during the opening comments of the exhibit, you actually mentioned that a good percentage of the materials donated were actually from your own personal collection. In fact, if memory serves correctly, you stated that you're not going to be seeing these again until your daughter is in her first semester of college.
Yes.
How does that feel, I mean, giving up a chunk of what you've been collecting for the majority of your life? I mean, for a noble cause, no less, but still, I mean, that's got to be tough.
Well, you know, that's exactly it. Yeah, about 80% of the collection, the actual platforms that you see in here, come from my personal collection. All of the material that you see in the exhibition, the still shots, the footage, were all captured by myself, you know, at home on a couple of editing days. And, you know, if I couldn't think of a more noble or important cause in which to go ahead and give up these systems, even for this period of time. Now, I'd be lying if I didn't say I was suffering a little separation anxiety.
That's
and
true.
I've already told my wife that I may get out to eBay and pick up an extra Saturn or, you know, or SNES. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm so glad that we're able to allow these materials and systems to exist in this exhibition for the rest of the world to enjoy.
Now, I mean, the premise for this entire exhibition is to show not only the gaming community, but also the general public that gaming can now be considered, you know, a form of high art. Now, in decades past, gaming has been considered more of a leisure pursuit, and at least, you know, in the popular consensus. But nowadays, you know, with the leaps forward in, you know, processing and everything like that, and you see that, you know, a lot of people are now starting to make the shift that, you know, instead of it being more of a leisure activity, it's more of a artistic, it's more of an art form than it ever was previously. Now, do you feel that this exhibition is going to contribute more to that opinion, that it's going to become more of an art form?
I believe that the exhibition finally allows us to frame the discussion. It allows us to start having the discussion as to whether or not people, by and large, believe video games can be an art form, you know, are art. Mm-hmm. And now, those of us, I'm assuming I'm in the same company. We already believe them to be art. We know what these games represent. But you know, every foreign media has its opportunity for leisure, or opportunity for introspection, or opportunity for social reflection. Video games are no different. The only difference that other forms of expressive media and art have over video games is time. That's it. Video games are still a nascent art form. They've only been with us for 40 years. And what's so exciting about that is that it is an art form where the creators of the form are still with us today. And we do not have that opportunity with television or radio or printed word or painting or music. We do have that opportunity with video games to understand it from its roots, to understand its impact on culture and society. And look, the fact is, the gaming community, right? I grew up, as I said, as a gamer. But the gaming community is now everyone, right? From my children to my wife to my parents, even. You know, I'll share this one great story for you. It was at Christmas time when the Wii first came out. I bought one for my parents. It must have been 11:30 at night, and the phone rings, and it's my parents calling the house. My wife and I had already gotten the kids to bed, and we're going to sleep. We have to get up for work and all this stuff. They call going, "Chris, I can't get this other controller connected to the Wii. We're trying to play this game." And I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" And they said, I said, "What are you playing?" And I could hear all this racket in the back, and they were having a party, and they're playing with the Wii. And I said, "Well, that's not a 3 or 4 player game. That's a 2 player game." All right, we got to go. Bye." And I just hang up the phone. I said, "Something's wrong here. You know, when did this shift occur?" And the shift occurred gradually, then suddenly. We've been living with these things, and we've just kind of watched them grow over time. And now we're at the point where just about everyone's a gamer. And I think that is an amazingly exciting time to not only be here at the museum, but to be involved in video games overall.
Well, Chris, I appreciate you, I mean, not only coming on and doing the interview with us, I also appreciate, you know, the fact that you're taking the time and you're making a personal sacrifice with putting this amazing exhibition together, and we want to thank you for coming on again, and we want to thank you for boldly going nowhere.
All right, and thank you, and I would also like to say, you know, thank you to the wonderful team at the Smithsonian. You know, without the team here at the American Art Museum, this exhibition would not be possible, so they have been as equally engaged and thoughtful about this, and, you know, my personal thanks to them as well, and thank you guys for having me on. It's been great.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right, for Boldly Going Nowhere, this is Justin Eisenstadt.
And Benjamin Price.
We are here at the Smithsonian Art Museum for the Art of Video Games exhibit and Game Fest, a whole weekend devoted to art and music and all the cool stuff related to gaming and gaming culture. We are here with the guys and girl from Triforce Quartet. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
So do you just want to go around and introduce yourselves? So we can put
it
in
order. So
sure.
I'm Chris Farrar, I'm the first violinist.
I'm Rebecca Hannigan, second violin.
I'm Matt Negrin, I play the viola.
And Chad Schwartz, I play cello.
And he arranges all the music.
And I arrange all the music.
Yeah. All right. Nice. Awesome. So can you just tell us a little bit about Triforce Quartet, who you guys are, how you got started, and what kind of music you guys do, for those who may not be familiar.
Right, so we're pretty new, but this kind of started a couple of years ago in college for me, which was...
Well, it
was definitely a couple of years ago. I had my senior recital coming up. I was a music major at James Madison, and I wanted to have a really cool encore because I love video games, and I actually heard a recording somewhere randomly on the internet of a quartet playing Zelda music. I'm like, I have to figure out how to do this. There's no music anywhere. So I just kind of listened to it, and I figured out how to transcribe it, and so I did that, and then I added my own themes to it and changed things around. And then as an encore, we played it. So that's how it started.
Did you all go to school together? Did you all go
No, we went to the same school.
Yeah, me and Chad.
We went to the same high school, and then I just know her through...
Friend of a friend,
yeah.
Chad's video on YouTube has a million hits from that performance he's talking
about. Right, so that's how I end
up
getting these kind of gigs. We also played on a cruise ship for 4 months, or us two did, but that's how we met. So so the people saw my video online, and then some guys, some recruiting agency basically messaged me on YouTube, and it said, hey, I like your videos. Are you interested in working on a 5-star cruise ship? I'm like, this guy is bullshit. There's no way. This is real. They left like an email address and with a website. I'm like, well, I'll check the website. And I'm like, there are going to be viruses on this. Anyway, so I checked it out. It looked somewhat legitimate, so I messaged him back. And then a couple months later, we're playing on a cruise ship. So.
What was it like playing on a cruise ship?
Probably the coolest thing I've ever done, other than maybe today.
So, which cruise ship was it?
It was Celebrity Infinity. This was in 2010 for 4 months, March to July.
Where'd they go to them exactly?
2-week Panama Canal cruises, starting from Florida, going through the Panama Canal, then to California, and then after that,
Alaska.
That's nice.
Yeah, no, it was really cool.
It was good. It was
really cool.
So we played the video game music a lot on the ship, too, and that was what set us apart from other cruise ship string quartets.
I'm sure. I've only been on one cruise, but there were zero string quartets, which really makes me feel like I missed out.
Well, they're getting less popular, unfortunately.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Cruises or string quartets?
String quartets on cruises. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a time-honored tradition going back to the Titanic.
Right. Yeah, but look what happened to them. By the way, you have no idea how many people requested that theme. No, that's like the most popular theme, and then we'd have to joke around with them.
But
and be
we
like,
never played Near My God to Thee.
Is that like the string quartet version of Freebird?
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Although we kind of joked around that we should do an arrangement of Freebird. I was going to do it, but then we ran out of time.
I mean, you were preemptive. Preemptive trolling, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
You're trolling the audience.
Yeah, exactly. They'd be like, Free Bird! We'd be like, fine. Here we go. You ready? Yeah,
you asked for it. See you in 45 minutes.
All right, so how did you guys end up getting invited to play here at the Smithsonian?
So I heard about the exhibit opening here. So I just looked online and found an email address for the exhibit, and I just sent out an email being like, hey, I have cool videos online, and I like video game music, it'd be cool to play. And so they just basically looked at it and they saw that it was cool and they emailed me back and then it went from there. So a lot easier than I thought it would be, which is cool that they saw it and realized that it was good.
Well, it helps that you had over a million views already.
Right. It's like, yeah, this video has a million views, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah,
no big deal.
A nice little, statistic you can hang on your belt there.
This is kind of funny. I actually put it on my resume. I have a YouTube video with a million views because it's, sometimes it starts up really funny conversations.
Dude, I mean, like, seriously, what else? What
I know. Like, what else can I put on there? I worked at some boring company. No, I have a YouTube video with a million views.
So, have you guys played at any of the sort of video game music conventions like MAGFest?
I haven't, although I talked to one of the guys from MAGFest, so we might be playing it there in the future. A couple years ago, what's the name of the Penny Arcade?
Penny Arcade, in
Seattle? PAX. The guy wanted us to play out there, but they didn't have that much money, and they couldn't fly all of us out there, so it didn't end up working out.
Yeah, it's kind of a schlep.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, it would be really expensive, so, to get us all out there, and my cello has
to have
an extra ticket.
Break even on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly, so. So
I imagine there aren't that
time.
Many.
They don't
want
flight cases
anymore.
Not that many. I'm trying to think of, quartets in general that aren't just like classical.
There are some modern ones,
quartets.
Some jazz ones, but
yeah.
Are you guys familiar with this band? I can't remember the name, but it's all cellos and they play.
Oh, Hot Politica. Absolutely, yeah. Are you kidding me? I played at the 930 Club. Yeah, I think like a month or two.
I played that for my senior recital also. I played Nothing Else Matters
with
four cellos.
Nice.
It was awesome.
Nice.
It was really cool.
Awesome.
They've been around a lot. They're fantastic.
Well, I would definitely recommend going to MAGFest. We were just there the last one back in January, and it was insane, especially now that they've moved the location to National Harbor.
Yep.
Because they just like ran out of space at their old place.
That's a good sign.
Insane. Like, I'd probably say between all of us, we probably got, 4 hours of sleep over the course of 4 days.
That's awesome.
I mean,
sounds
we just did
cool.
not sleep.
That's the way to do it.
It's a blast.
I think they had over 10,000 people there.
On the Gaylord Resort? Yeah, right?
I've heard you.
Really? Yeah. There's so much energy here. It's so cool.
Yeah.
I think the way we described it when we got inside was like we're inside Lady Gaga's pants. It's just like glittering everywhere.
Yeah.
And like, all right. Well, anyways, let's get back to this—the Art of Video Games exhibit. You guys just came out of the exhibit.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the exhibit?
Very nostalgic.
Exactly. I was just about to say nostalgic. I'm going there. And I'm like, oh, I remember playing this game.
I
want to
go home
so
right
cool.
now and play.
Yeah.
games I played when I was 10.
I still have them.
There are games in there that I'd be like, oh, I haven't played this in forever. I need to go back and play again. Yeah. Oh, it was so good.
It was great to see StarCraft. I was going to say, I love StarCraft. So.
Yeah, it's an interesting selection.
Yeah. Games, didn't they figure out what was going to be on there because they had votes or whatever, and they chose the top 40 games or something?
I was really upset about N64, I was telling Chad.
Yeah, they should have had GoldenEye.
Because GoldenEye. Yeah. 007,
they had it in the book.
What happened was, GoldenEye actually had been voted as the game to be chosen for the target, but they couldn't get the licensing from
there.
I knew there was something wrong, dude.
Damn the man. That is what we're
It's like all people played.
Where's Banjo-Kazooie?
Well, I would like to hear, like, just going around from each of you, what is, like, the coolest thing that you saw on the exhibit, and then the thing that you were most disappointed to not see. Like, the game or system or something that you would have most wanted to see in that exhibit.
Okay, I'll
put you on the spot.
Okay. Well, I know disappointment, there wasn't any handheld video gaming in there.
Yeah, that was so a
there
common
there were so many games on there handheld that...
I mean, no Pokemon.
Oh my gosh, there's no Pokemon. That's funny. Didn't even think about that. Yeah, how could they not have Pokemon? No Smash Brothers. Smash Brothers.
The after school party game.
Best thing. I was really cool how they had playable demos in there. And downstairs also, there are all these systems I have either never seen or haven't seen in 15 years that you could actually play. So that was really cool.
My favorite part was definitely, we were even talking about it in there, but Final Fantasy Tactics has always been one of my favorite games.
Yes, love
it. That was so unique, and just it like makes you think, and to have that be like people watching it and talking, like there are these two girls behind us who are like dressed up, and they were like, oh my god, Final Fantasy Tactics! I was like, that's awesome! So that was great to see that featured. Because I guess for some reason I considered that kind of like a cult version.
I did too.
Yeah, but apparently it's really popular.
I was surprised, like, there were some I was like, okay, I was expecting to see this game, but there were a couple flipping through the book, I was like, wow, that's pretty obscure. Like, Dune 2, Battle for Arrakis.
It's not something you would normally think of. It's way outside the mainstream.
I think it's because they had to get one game from each category, so maybe there might be five popular games for one category, but then, you know, RPGs on Nintendo 64. Quest 64 was a great game.
I guess I was disappointed that, I mean, clearly we're biased, but like there was nothing on music in there, and I feel like music has been such an important part of video games that it deserved at least a mention in an art museum, because either the composers or just the methods that they used from the 8-bit games to like the full symphonies they have now.
If you can
get like incredible. You were saying about the chords.
Yeah, so like when they made the music for Mario, the 8-bit version, there was no sustain on the music technology or whatever, so every beep was like that, so to make a sustained note, they had to play an arpeggio for all the chords at like 256 beats per second, faster than the ear can comprehend the spaces.
So, it
so it's really like, except much faster. So it just sounds like, which I think is amazing.
No,
right, and isn't that one of the coolest things you've ever heard in your life about anything? That could have been something like that. Could have been.
Wow.
The artists who had to create the music and write the music had to think about so much more back then than they do now.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Becca?
I just thought it was so cool just to see the history organized from the start of it all the way up till now, like just the progression of how things went. I don't have a lot of video game experience, but it was really neat and informative to see that. So.
For me, I think the biggest disappointment was, I'm a PC gamer, so basically I wanted to see more PC gaming stuff, like Counter-Strike. I couldn't believe that
was wasn't. WoW was
they should have had a whole section Warcraft, on cheat codes and hacking and like glitches.
Or like Easter eggs.
Yeah.
It's in the artwork from WoW.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
I didn't see it. Sketches.
So, yeah, that was the only thing for me. And then... yeah, and more on what you were saying about the music. I wish they would have had more music stuff because, like,
it's so
especially now, like,
I did hear they got this awesome quartet to play.
Maybe they should.
Oh yeah, I think I
saw. Well, the trick with video game music is that it has to be written in a way that's enjoyable but not annoying because it's repeated so often.
Right,
like especially in early like Super Nintendo games and even PlayStation 1 games, you'll have the same theme like over and over for 30 minutes. If you're like stuck on like one dungeon or whatever. Like,
I hate this theme.
Yeah, you don't want to
hear it. You'd hate it. You don't know why.
I think that's a really good segue back into talking about you guys and your music, which ostensibly is the reason you're here to be interviewed. But let's talk about the process of arranging and rehearsing one of these songs, because it does seem like a complicated thing to do to, as you said, still make it enjoyable for the audience.
Right. So when I was arranging, like, there's some themes that I wish were in there, and people come up and it's like, why didn't you put this? Like, for the Mario one, the
hey,
one shut
up,
the boom boom boom.
Yeah, everyone asked that.
And you have to make sure that, so I'm arranging for string quartet. You have to make sure that the music that we're playing sounds good with our instruments. There's stuff that would either be really hard to play or just wouldn't sound very good. Like Final Fantasy VII, the boss theme at the very end, like the, what are they?
One Winged Angel?
One Winged Angel, thank you. I wish we could play that in quartet. It would sound like so bad if you have four instruments. So when I was choosing what to put in there, I wanted to do justice to the themes that we were playing. And also, you know, some of them are approaching 15 minutes, and if I get too much longer, people are going to lose interest in the middle, so I also have to, you know, pick and choose which ones, which is sometimes really hard. And then also I have to choose ones that kind of flow into each other pretty well. So transitions are really hard to make sure they work.
But you did a good job of staying true to the original.
True. Right.
And that's real purist. Even the keys. Yeah. He would pick the most ridiculous key signatures just so that it matched the original.
Right. So if you're a musician, you know that there are some keys that are easier to play than others. And my pitch, I just get annoyed if I hear it in the wrong key. So they get annoyed at me because I get it in a really hard, something that would be not that hard makes it extremely hard because the key that I write it in. So sometimes I'll give in and change it. So yeah. It's easier to
How much of the stuff that you chose was based on like what you think would be popular among fans versus like stuff you like?
I would say it's kind of, most of it is I like it and I know fans like it, as opposed to only I like it, no one's going to know what this is. There are maybe one or two in there.
Is that
the
theme from Cosmo Canyon?
Yeah. Like Mario RPG. I love Mario RPG, so I knew I had to get something Mario RPG in there. I'm trying to think of other smaller ones that may not be as well known. I really like Final Fantasy VI, so I threw some stuff in there that maybe people don't, but I mean, they're still popular, so
yeah.
I bet people coming up be like, I knew every single one, it's awesome.
I mean, six is my favorite one in the
series. Thank you, that's my favorite one too. I completely agree.
So how does it compare playing this music for like diehard fans of video game music and then people who maybe have no idea what this music is or just casual.
It doesn't matter because it's still good music.
Yeah.
I mean, my mom likes it, and she doesn't know anything about
it. On the cruise ship, okay. We would especially on the longer cruises, it's pretty much all old people who had never heard any of it before, and they would sometimes see us on the cruise ship and be like, "What was that thing you played earlier? It was so cool!" And we'd have to explain it was video game music. That would sometimes blow their mind. Video games.
Oh, man.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I had a guy come up to me afterwards and was just like, "You guys sound amazing. I don't know anything about video games, but wow, so good." You know,
although
so
definitely, after playing here, we were like swarmed by people when we got
this. This is by far the best experience.
Asking for autographs.
Well, yeah, we were sitting in the audience. We had plenty of people just who were asking us, like, who are these guys? What are they playing?
They thought we were like touring the world. And then
right. I mean, that's gotta feel pretty.
We are.
Cool.
This was cool.
It was so cool. Definitely like the coolest feeling ever. Yeah. I never had any kind of reaction like that to.
And it's
game
also
music,
it's also so. Great to know that like fans of video games appreciate the music because it's so it's classical music, right? We're playing in stringed instruments, which for so long have been seen as boring, like dorky.
Yeah, I've never had I haven't had a reaction like that playing any music anywhere.
Yeah.
Nothing like today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's
like a rock
different.
Concert. Like people at some of the themes when we were playing Mario, like I heard someone in the front go like, "Yes!" like right in the middle, like they heard something they wanted to hear, like they were like requesting songs.
Yeah, I mean,
like hearing your favorite band play, and then you're like, "Oh, I love this song!"
It really is. And I would just highly recommend like trying like go into like MAGFest or BitGen, which is up in Baltimore during the summer, because the thing is like. The people, like, really diehard video game music fans, it doesn't matter that they're hearing some of the same songs over and over again from different bands. Every time they hear that song, they will go ape shit.
And that's the nostalgia stuff again.
It really is.
And also everybody has different arrangements of how to play it, too, ways to put everything together. So.
Right, and it's really cool as a band to hear other bands do the same, do different arrangements of the same song.
Well, Chad's really good at mixing the old stuff with the new stuff. So, especially in the Mario 1, like, the throwbacks to, like, Mario 3, like, the weird Mario 2 thing.
Well, even Zelda with Skyward Sword.
Three of them in there?
I had to put Skyward Sword in there. I put that in there specifically for this. A week ago, I'm like,
last
hey guys,
sends us new music.
By the way,
3 days before we rehearsed. I added 12 measures here.
So I'm curious, what are some non-video game
songs that you guys are really like interested in maybe
so you
arranging and performing?
Oh, in general? Non-video game songs.
Are, I'm just, if
next
are,
question.
If you guys
well, like I did the Apocalyptica. All the right. Apocalyptica yeah. stuff is awesome. What else have I done? I mean, when we were on the cruise ship, we played every genre
like,
you can think of.
Yeah.
So sometimes if we would think of something that was really popular, try to get an arrangement of it really quickly. But I'm trying to think of something out there that I really like to play. I don't know.
There's actually a great group called the Section Quartet, and they do a lot of Radiohead music, which is
okay.
fantastic on quartet because it, you have to think really outside the box to imitate some of those sounds. So that stuff is really cool. There's a little like weird following for things like that.
Cool. So do you guys have any sort of upcoming like projects or releases that you want to plug or talk about?
Well, so we have problems in terms of releasing anything or giving people music, which is like on YouTube, I get questions all the time. You know, how can I buy music, get your music, whatever, and I can't sell it or give it to anyone because I don't own the music. Nintendo owns the music. So I'm allowed to listen to it and figure it out. You're allowed to play it, but you're not allowed to sell it or give it away or anything.
Gotcha.
So it's a problem with that, unfortunately, because
it's very Chinese.
Okay, well, I don't have any questions at this point, but if anyone else in the group, we'll throw it over to you guys.
I have one question. Who had the iPad sheet music?
That was me.
I was looking at that. I was looking at sheet music. Is that an iPad?
Yeah. I forgot to print off.
Yeah, there's no technology.
The technology's so amazing. It was like thinner than a sheet of paper, and I got confused for a second.
I was like, well, I think I can pull it up. Let me just put this up.
I didn't
know
there was an iPad.
You might have to turn the page and like flip it up.
No, it's just a PDF.
Just to be a badass. Oh, it's just a PDF and just pop it. Oh, okay. That's all I have.
Yeah. You would never be able to do it with a Kindle. Or whatever.
Yeah.
Only Apple. Brian
has a question.
How disappointed were you that there was A, no Mega Man, and B, no Mega Man music feature?
Oh, you know what? Actually, I was thinking about trying to do a Mega Man theme, but it's really hard because it's so electronic. I don't know how well it would translate over it, but I love Mega Man music, especially Mega Man 2. That's my favorite.
But it's like the same thing with Sonic. Like, I feel like Sonic has great music, but it's so electronic and so fast that it would either be almost unrecognizable or, like, not enjoyable, really, and probably very disappointing.
Yeah, there definitely should have been something on Mega Man. There are, like, 50 of those games.
Well, I agree with the Sonic thing, because we're several of us here are also in a band together. We're like, oh, we should cover some music from Sonic, like Chemical Plant, that song.
Oh, yeah, awesome. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So this is going to be really hard.
Yeah, it's
wow.
really hard.
Really hard to do.
Who composes the music for Mega Man?
I don't even know
who it is.
Some Japanese guy.
It's such a different type of video game music, but I think that also speaks to how the genre is so interesting that, like, there's Final Fantasy, which is, like, typically very beautiful, and then there's Mario, which is jazzy and fun, and there's, like, Mega Man, which is, like, and Sonic, which is just, like, electronica and fast and, like, dance-like almost. Like, there are genres within games.
There's stuff that's coming out now. There is some video game band that does this awesome, I think it's just Mega Man 2, where they go through almost every song.
Bit Brigade.
What?
Bit Brigade.
No,
they run through the entire game while playing the soundtrack.
Well, that's probably that's not what I'm thinking.
That's
of. That sounds
well,
good.
Okay,
that's
you,
awesome.
I don't know. I can't remember. Oh, but I'm just
they
thinking
play it live while they're playing the game.
It's like,
I mean, there's so many Mega Man themed bands.
Yeah,
there.
I was just thinking
2000
of it.
X, Proto Man, Megas, the X Hunters.
I've heard of them.
Like all of those are pretty much Mega Man inspired. So, all right. Well, anybody else have any questions at this point? All right, well, thank you guys so much for joining us and for playing music.
Absolutely.
Thanks. Thank you for boldly going nowhere.
All right.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production. For other shows and more, visit castwavestudios.com.